Sudara Sada His Vangris Isi Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinoda Ki Iskana Phanga Chara Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namachara Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sika Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shudaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaur. All glorious assembly devotees, all glorious assembly devotees, all glorious assembly devotees. Glory to Shishi Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 6, Text 66 to 74. Okay, we'll do the first verse and then I'll just do the translation for the rest. Yajnavalkyastato Brahmans. Yajnavalkyastato Brahmans. Chandams Yadi Gaveshayan. Chandams Yadi Gaveshayan. Guru Ravidya Manani. Guru Ravidya Manani. Supatashte Rikam Ishvaram. Supatashte Rikam Ishvaram. Yajnavalkyastato Brahmans. Chandams Yadi Gaveshayam. Guru Ravidya Manani. Supatashte Rikamishvaram. Yajnavalkyastato Brahmans. Chandamsi Hadigaveshayan. Guru Ravidya Manani. Suptatste Rikamishvaram. Yajnavalkyastato Brahmans. Yajnavalkya. 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 Tataha. Thereafter.
Thereafter.
Brahman.
Brahman.
O Brahmana.
O Brahmana.
Chandamsi.
Chandamsi.
Mantras.
Dhi.
Additional.
Gaveshayan.
Seeking out.
Guru.
To his spiritual master.
Avidyamanani.
Not known.
So
upataste.
He carefully
worshipped.
Arkam.
The sun.
Ishvaram.
The powerful controller.
Translation
and purport by the disciples of this language.
My dear Brahmana Shaunaka,
Yajnavalkya
then desired to find out new
Yajur
mantras, unknown to even his spiritual master. With this in mind, he offered attentive worship to the powerful Lord of the Sun.
Please repeat.
My dear Brahmana Shaunaka,
Yajnavalkya
then desired to find out new Yajur mantras,
unknown to even his spiritual master.
With this in mind,
he offered attentive worship
to the powerful Lord of the Sun.
Text 67.
Sri Yajnavalkya said, I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Personality of God appearing as the Sun. You are present as the controller of the four kinds of living entities, beginning from Brahma and extending down to the blades of grass. Just as the sky is present both inside and outside every living being, you exist both within the hearts of all as the super soul and externally in the form of time. Just as the sky cannot be covered by the clouds present within it, you are never covered by any false material designation. By the flow of years, which are made up of the tiny fragments of time called kashanas, lavas, and naimeshas, you alone maintain this world, drying up the waters and giving them back to as rain.
Well put,
this prayer is not offered to the sun god as an independent or autonomous entity, but rather to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, represented by his powerful expansion, the solar deity.
Text 68.
O glowing one, O powerful Lord of the Sun, you are the chief of all the demigods. I meditate with careful attention on your fiery globe, because for those who offer prayers to you three times daily, according to the Vedic method, passed down through authorized disciplic succession, you burn away all sinful activities, all consequent suffering, and even the original seed of desire.
69.
You are personally present as the indwelling Lord in the hearts of all moving and non-moving beings. You depend completely on your shelter. Who depend completely on your shelter? Indeed, you animate their material minds, senses, and vital ears to act.
70.
The world has been seized and swallowed by the python of darkness in its horrible mouth and has become unconscious, as if dead. But mercifully glancing upon the sleeping people of the world, you raise them up with the gift of sight. Thus you are most magnanimous. At the three sacred junctions of each day, you engage the pious in the path of ultimate good, inducing them to perform religious duties that situate them in their spiritual position.
Purport.
According to the Vedic culture, the three higher classes of society, the intellectual, political, and mercantile sections, are formally connected with the spiritual master by initiation and receive the Gayatri mantra. This purifying mantra is chanted three times daily, at sunrise, noon, and sunset, auspicious moments for the performance of spiritual duties are calculated according to the sun's path in the sky, and this systematic scheduling of spiritual duties is here attributed to the sun as the representative of God. 71. Just like an earthly king, you travel about everywhere, spreading fear among the unholy, as the powerful deities of the directions offer you in their folded palms, lotus flowers, and other respectful presentations. 72. Therefore, my Lord, I am prayerfully approaching your lotus feet, which are honored by the spiritual masters of the three worlds, because I hope to receive from you mantras of the Yajurveda unknown to anyone else. 73. Sudha Goswami said, satisfied by such glorification, the powerful sun god assumed the form of a horse and presented to the sage Yajnavalkya Yajur mantras, previously unknown in human society. And 74. From these countless hundreds of mantras of the Yajurveda, the powerful sage compiled 50 new branches of Vedic literature. These became known as the Vajrasaneya Samhita, because they were produced from the hairs of the horse's mane, and they were accepted in disciplic succession by the followers of Kanva, Madhyadina, and other rishis. O Gyanat Manasya Gananjana Shalaka Sachin Kanya Transformation Yuvan. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dhaka Shri Asana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So within these verses, Yajnavalkya, some people say Jagna, Jagyavalkya or Yajnavalkya. Which one is the best word, Marumati Mataji?
whatever is easier for you to pronounce.
I heard Nagaraj Prabhu said Yajnavalkya, so I'll go with that. He's a Sanskrit. So this is a kind of controversial situation with Yajnavalkya. And I guess we've read about his past. So maybe to recap a little bit, the Srila Vyasadeva had divided the four Vedas, the Vedas into four. The Vedas was one from Satyuga until the end of Dwarpa Yuga, and then Srila Vyasadeva divided into four. He gave the Rig Veda to Pila. Yeah, Pila Rishi, he gave the Yajurveda to Vaishampayana, the Sama Veda to Jaimini, and the Atar Veda to Samantu. These Vedas, like Lord Krishna explained, they deal with, they have flowery language. They deal with the three modes, mainly with the three modes of nature. In fact, the Rig Veda praises the devatas. The Yajur Vedas deal with mantras and sacrifices. Sama Vedas, sacred songs to the devas. And the Atar Vedas deal with knowledge and Ayurvedas and so forth. Danurveda and so forth. So the Yajur Vedas was divided into 27 sections by Vaishampayana, and he gave it to his 27 disciples, which includes Yajnavalkya. The sages had decided to gather in the foothills of Mount Meru to discuss the Vedas and to edit sages are meeting to edit some of this Vedic knowledge. And so they said that if anyone misses this meeting, he would be penalized.
Penalized.
So Vaishampayan. Right, Pushkar? He missed the meeting. And, well, he had some reason. One reason was that he had to do his Pitri or forefather celebration. And so he missed it. And because of that, they said that he committed Brahmana Hatya, which is like the act of killing a Brahmana. But instead, after that sacrifice for his father, he had also mistakenly mashed a Brahmana and killed him. So I guess he missed the meeting, and then he mashed this Brahmana and killed him, so he's penalized. And he asked his disciples to atone for him. So the unorthodox Yajnavalkya, he said, "Don't bother with these weak disciples. I would atone for you." See? And so that did not please his guru. And he told him to give back all the knowledge he had learned from the Yajurvedas. So he regurgitated the knowledge, and his disciples, they took the form of tetira birds, little small partridge. And they consume the knowledge of the Yajurvedas like that. And so Yajnavalkya, he left. He said he will not get an earthly guru again. And he decided to praise the sun god, Surya. And so these are the prayers that we've just read here. See, the sun god. Also, worship of the sun god was very, very popular in past ages. Very, very popular. We know like all the civilization basically used to worship the sun god. And as we know that the sun is very, very important for our planetary system. Without the sun, this world would be doomed. See? It's stated that if the moon and all the lights, all the electricity and all the candles and everything were to come out in the world, all the lights, even fires, you put bushfires, the moon, all the different lights and everything, still the world would be in darkness. It would not be able to bring light to the world. So without the appearance of the sun, this whole planetary system is in darkness. See, complete darkness. Even the moon is also dependent on the sun for its light. See? So Yajnavalkya is praising the sun god. And then also he's saying that the four types of living entities are dependent on him. And I guess the four types of living entities, I think those that are born from what? Birth, from egg, from seeds, and from perspiration. Yeah, the perspiration one is miraculous. So anyhow, those four types of living, that means all the living entities from Lord Brahma, down to the blade of grass, everyone is dependent for survival on the sun. Then it's stated that the sun, through its movement, little movements, it says here, kashanas. Do you know what kashana means, Pushkar? Let me find the word. There's some. Yeah, so anyhow, Naimesha, Kashana, and another one. But these are small movements of time. Naimesha means like wings. Like time used to be measured in different ways, wings, through your breath, through different small ways. So anyhow, through these little movements, the sun is moving. Well, in one sense, the planets are moving around the sun. The earth is thing, but the sun and all the planets are moving around also. So by these movements, you get the phases of days and then night. And he stated here that the devotees, they're able to chant their mantras. And we know the Gayatri Mantra. We chant the Gayatri Mantra from morning, midday, and then evening, like that. See? So the sun is a very valuable planet. I don't know if I should say planet. I might not be scientifically right. See, they call it a star, or the sun globe, so to speak. See, it's very essential. Without it, there would basically be no life. No plants would survive, no living entity. I mean, life might survive for a little while and then dwindle and die. And then at the end of the age, or when the earth is about to be annihilated, the sun gets closer to the planet, moves closer, drives up all the oceans and everything. In fact, it's stated that the sun is divided into seven suns. And the heat is so intense that it destroys all life on the planet. And then it creates a huge fire and everything is burned up. That's how the earth is annihilated. So finally, the sun god. Who is the sun god for this age? Vibhishan, yeah. He's been appeased. He's been satisfied. Generally, most of the devas, when they're glorified, then they become appeased. They become happy, satisfied. And so he took the form of a horse. He took the form of a horse and he taught Yajnavalkya different sections of the Yajur Vedas that have never been heard by within the human society. And all these hundreds of mantras, Yajnavalkya, he divided them into 15. He divided them into 15 verses. Something like that. Yeah. So this is what Yajnavalkya did. This would his guru would be pleased. Vaishampayan. Right, Pushkar? He would be pleased by Yajnavalkya's mantras. And he would ask Yajnavalkya to teach it to his disciples. See? Bhakti, he would ask Yajnavalka to teach these mantras to his disciples. So in one sense, you could say Yajnavalka made up Bhakti, his earthly guru. I'd like to discuss a little more in the life of Yajnavalka. Even though he's a controversial personality, it's good to hear a little bit about him, because he was in one sense a stubborn disciple. See, he was a stubborn disciple. Maybe we should discuss a little about spiritual master-disciple relationship. But I want to talk a little bit about Yajnavalkya. He was related to this Guru Maharaj through his mother. His mother was the sister of Vaishampayana. See, and so Yajnavalkya, he was accepted by Vaishampayana. And then he studied with him. But he was an extraordinary disciple also, in the sense that he taught Maharaj Janak. Most of you have heard of Maharaj Janak. Maharaj Janak is said to be one of the Mahajans. And Yajnavalkya would teach him. Yajnavalkya, Maharaj Janak wanted to know who's the best guru, who's the best teacher, to teach him. And he performed some kind of jagya. What is it called? He performed a jagya to test, see who's the best guru. And so he realized, so what he did, he had 1,000 cows. He had 1,000 cows with 1,000 calves and with golden horns. And he said, who is the best brahmana here? Who is the best spiritual master? Take these cows. Yajnavalkya went into the assembly there, and there were many great sages, not ordinary sages. And Yajnavalkya told his disciples, take these cows home. You know, take them to his ashram. The other sages were furious. They were very much upset, annoyed. How can this upstart do such a thing? How can he take these cows without even discussing anything with us? You know, this guy, he's not good at all, you know. So Yajnavalkya took his disciples home the cows, took them to his ashram. And then he went and debated with all these sages. He debated with all of them, and he defeated each one of them, everyone. And there are many, many great sages there. You can imagine, that was in Dwarpa. It would have been Treta Yuga. Yeah, Maharaj Janak was in Treta Yuga. So you would have had like some really powerful sages, maybe like Vishwamitra, Vashishta. And so many others, Daumya, and so forth. So he defeated all of them, and then he taught Maharaj Janak. And we know that Maharaj Janak is actually a pure devotee of the Lord, very exalted. So he taught Maharaj Janak, and then and Maharaj Janak was pleased with him. He was pleased with him. One time it stated that Maharaj Janak was passing through the hellish region. And as he was passing through, all the sufferings of the beings in that region stopped. And so they inquired, why is this? And I think they were told that because of the presence of Maharaj Janak. And they begged him to stay further, because by his mere presence, the suffering was stopped. The suffering in the hellish planets is so intense that that is really unbearable, and by the mere presence of that great personality, it stopped. So we can see that this upstart, Yajnavalka, he did enlighten Maharaj Janak, and so he got his blessings also. So I'd like to discuss a little bit about the guru and the disciple. Even though Yajnavalka was like an upstart, but at the same time, maybe his situation was different. It's not the norm. Tadvidi pranipatena paripasena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnanina stattva darshanam. One should learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him, render service unto him, and then he will impart knowledge. This is important, because especially what we're seeing sometimes today, some disciples feel that they should only, or maybe we should, some disciples feel that they should only follow Srila Prabhupada orders and no one else. But Srila Prabhupada ordered us to follow his successors. See? So this is an important point to note. So if we're only following Prabhupada and we're thinking that well, we're following him, but then he ordered us to follow his successors, then something is not right, and then we have to contemplate this and decide what exactly we're doing. See, what exactly we're doing. Also, sometimes devotees who are not so fixed may even get carried away with teachings of other gurus outside of our parampara. And so it's a very essential point to note that how we should be dedicated to our system, and how we should try to follow the instructions of Prabhupada nicely, knowing that we're executing his orders properly. This is very important, otherwise then we could create havoc in society. We can create havoc thinking that we are doing the right thing. So Yajnavalka, I mean, he was a controversial sage in some sense, but his position should not be imitated by ordinary devotees. I mean, he was able to appease the sun god himself, Surya. And that's not so easy for us. Okay, I'll stop here. Steedadi Prabhu has some correction here.
Sure. Oh, one thing about Yajnavalkya?
Yajnavalkya.
Him, that guy. So this was what, Treta Yuga?
Here now?
No, in his pastime?
Oh, well, the pastimes with his guru and everything took place at the end of Dwarpa Yuga.
Dwarpa Yuga, so it's a while ago.
The pastime with Maharaj Janak took place in Treta Yuga.
So this is at a time where Vedic culture is very well established.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess the thing that captures my imagination, I suppose, or at least attention, his problems in paradise, even back in the glorious days of yore. You know, it's not like you have to, that's part of the process, that there's complications and, you know, issues and personalities and people have anarthas and they're working through them, even back then. And he's a prime example, and not only is he an example of it, but he's put in the Bhagavatam, and he's a great soul in many respects. So, you know, life's complicated, and Varnashram is a sophisticated system, it sounds like, that actually accommodates these complications in a way that's progressive for all the participants. Anyway, it was just a thought that came into me. It's not like suddenly these problems are unique to the present. They never existed before. They've always existed. But perhaps in Kali Yuga, you know, the problems are increasing and the solutions to them are decreasing, you know, at a rapid pace as a general principle.
Yeah, good point taken. Yes, Dhamma Prabhu.
You mentioned about Janak Maharaj, so I'm just wondering if it's the Janak Maharaj as the Mahajan. As we know, Janak Maharaj is not particularly a name of a person, but it's a position that occupied the Janak kingdom.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you're saying that there could be several Janak.
Oh yes, there are several Janak Maharajas. Like Janak Maharaj is the, like, as what most prominently we know as the father of Sita Devi.
Yeah.
But then in the, you know, in the 10th canto, Lord Balaram, he went and spent 4 months with Janak Maharaj in his kingdom, which is in Dwapara Yuga.
Okay.
So Janak Maharaj is a position. So and one of them is the Mahajan, so I'm not sure.
That's a good point. I didn't realize that Janaka was a position in Vaideya.
Yeah, it's
stated specifically Vaideya, and I know that Sita Devi was born there. So that point is well taken. Actually, I should do some research to find out.
Because Janaka is the kingdom.
It's the same Janak. But of course, these sages, they live for a very long time. Sometimes they live for many, many different yugas. You know, Vishwa, Mitra, Vishishta. They live for a long, long time. In this case, yes, I don't know, because from Treta Yuga to the end of Dwarpa Yuga would have been 12 and 8, almost 2 million years.
Yes. Yeah. That brings me to the second point of
good point. Yeah.
You talked about this Vedas being divided at the end of Dwapara Yuga.
Yeah.
But then Yajnavalkya was also there in Treta Yuga. He was also a part of Lord Ram's pastimes. Because according to the original Valmiki Ramayana, Yajnavalkya was discussing with Bharadwaj pastimes of Lord Ram. So it's very possible that
it's him. He spoke.
Also that this Dwapara Yuga that you talked about not necessarily means this Dwapara Yuga that we can say just passed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good point. Yeah, sometime the pastime may have occurred on another Dwapara Yuga.
Yeah.
But I mean, the way it's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, usually most of the pastimes has been discussed within these yugas, from Satyuk, Kamandong, Tawar. Sometimes they refer to pastimes on other yugas, but generally, the general trend is to discuss pastimes within these four yugas, like that. Another point too. Yajnavalkya had actually married Bharadwaj's daughter also. Okay. He had married thing. And it's also stated that Yajnavalkya had brought in some women to discuss Vedic paradigm, you know, which is unknown in Vedic times, but he actually did that. Yeah.
I never
any other question?
If there's any other point.
Oh, you have another one?
Yeah. If there's no other point.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other Maharajis would get us some point anyway.
About his Yajnavalkya's peculiar position per se as a disciple.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking that there are different levels of disciples,
as basically you can categorize them third class, second class, and first class disciples. So according to our acharyas, the third class disciple is one who has to be told what to do and still don't quite get it. And the second class disciple is one who can follow instructions upon being instructed by the guru. And the first class disciple actually understands what the guru's desire is, and he executes that without even being told. So I don't know the intricacy of Yajnavalkya's situation, but from what you have described, and I don't know where you got your information from, but from what you have described, that ultimately his guru was pleased with like that in the class. So chances are he is a first class disciple that was placed in that position for a particular reason, to bring out these Vedic literatures from the different angles. I'm just sharing.
No, that's a good point. It seems, I also was seeing that he's an extraordinary personality, you know, but you know, it's just the way it was done, because when his guru said, don't be like this to your god brothers, and then he was demeaning to, well, not really, I mean, demeaning in one sense. He said, these guys are weak. these disciples of yours are weak. You know, I mean, that was heavy. And then he says, well, look, then his guru says, give back me all the knowledge, you know, like that. Then he regurgitated and, you know, so forth. So in one sense, but I would put it this way. It's an unusual pastime. It's interesting also in the sense that you never heard of something like this. But it's not for the common man, you know, it's not for them to follow. It's not like any one of us could be a Yajnavalkya here. You know, it's not so possible. Yeah.
But in principle.
Yeah. Any other point? Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.